Roselli Northern supports upstate New York construction with over 400 employees, 250 trucks, 9 ready-mix plants, 4 blacktop plants, and 40 aggregate mines. But their most important number is your bottom line. Contact them today to see why Roselli Northern has been the choice for contractors and project managers across upstate New York since 1929.
Everybody, welcome in to Fresh Takes, Russo and Felice. Happy you could be with us here on another Wednesday, here in the studio. Paul Russo and Nick Felice here with you. Nick, good seeing you.
Yeah, you know, what I like about our show is like the midway point of your week.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. Going to be a unique episode. We're kind of crunch time-wise here. This other project's happening is... we will call it. So we're going to try and rapid fire through as much stuff as we kind of can. As I call it, this is going to be like kind of like our day at the races type.
We bringing back the rap beat from episode one?
I forgot to do that to fully plan for it. That one's
I don't
on
have
me.
Anything. I don't know.
But I can't speak for you, but I'm Team Kendrick at this point. So, but either way, before we get any further, thank Roselli Northern once again for their continued support, and Dewey's Tavern within walking distance of downtown Seneca Falls, just across the Bridge Street Bridge. Play Quick Draw, Lottery, 19 televisions for all your sporting events. Great food for lunch or dinner, bocce, dart, and pool leagues. You can check them out online at deweysthirdward.com. And the Seneca Falls Country Club since 1925. Seneca Falls Country Club has been one of the premier golf destinations in the Finger Lakes region with their meticulously groomed 18-hole championship golf course overlooking Cougar Lake, the perfect combination of playability, beauty, and challenge. Book your tee time online at SenecaFallsCountryClub.com. Be sure to check out their amazing weekend afternoon open golf special. So, me and you, Nick, as well as Matt, your brother, who we talk about Pat not being on. Well, Matt hasn't been on a while either, but since we went to the afternoon time, hard to get folks really kind of in.
I was thinking about this last week. Pat could come on. Doesn't he work till not till later today?
In theory, yeah.
I'm not breaking any news here, but I think there's going to be a Pat Russo return here soon.
Can only hope. But we were all watching the Kentucky Derby, so that's where we're going to be beginning today with Majestic Dan. Mystic Dan. Apologies.
Come on, get your money.
I know. I've actually won for a change. I wasn't the mush for the horses this time around. 150th running, never missed a beat since it began 150 years ago. And we had one of the best finishes in Derby history on its, whatever it's called, centennial there. Don't know how to properly describe it. But either way, it was one of those things where, you know, we're kind of watching on the stretch. And I wouldn't say, like, none of the favorites were kind of up there, but, like, it was kind of a mixed bag, in all honesty. And at least for me, anyway, you could tell it was going to be a different Derby because, to me, when they came out of the gate, there was a couple clusters of them, and they're all kind of banging against each other. I'm like, oh, this is going to not be, like, whatever. And turns out we had one of the more spectacular finishes, in, let alone the Triple Crown, but obviously Kentucky Derby history.
Yeah. No, we didn't get the upset like Mage from last season. But, you know, Mystic Dan is a good horse. Is he American Pharoah? Is he Justify? Is he in the class of Barbaro and Big Brown and Secretariat?
The GOAT.
Secretariat is the GOAT, obviously.
Respect.
No Seabiscuit or Bojack Horseman. But
Judas, hold on. Judas put Secretariat below... Seabiscuit?
No, I didn't mean it, but that's how it came out, yes.
Okay. Wanted to be sure.
I didn't mean it.
Put respect on that horse's name.
Secretary is the goat. Let's get that straight. That's kind of weird. You know, Mystic Dan didn't have any comments after the race.
It's a horse.
In all seriousness, but hats off to you, Paul, picking it. My horse, T.O. Password, I think is still out there running. Still trying to finish it, but
It's not kind.
But let's... Do we dare put asterisks on this race? I mean, Bob Baffert's still banned one more year. He has two horses that are going to be competing in the Preakness. And,
do you put... Well, actually, to be fair, we've been over this, but, like, you ain't putting asterisks next to Barry Bonds' record. Right?
You're right.
So, we can't... It's because Bob Baffert cheated and isn't out there and got caught doesn't mean that the other horses should suffer because of Bob Baffert's own plight of his own self-infliction.
But he had two good horses. Could have been out there. Could have gave Mystic Dan a run for his money. But...
Sounds like a Bob Baffert problem to me.
I mean, great win. It was funny. They interviewed the owner of Mystic Dan right before the race, and he didn't want to comment too much. And then maybe he had a game plan going. I mean, a little controversy of that other horse. The jockey sticking his arm out on there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was a little, if you got an exacta or a trifecta, a little controversy there. But
as long as the ticket cashes.
I mean, that was one of the most exciting finishes. Hard to believe it wasn't the most exciting finish in racing weekend, but it was... probably one of the most exciting finishes in Kentucky Derby in horse racing history, because that came down to the nose. Not too often. Not too often does a race come down to the nose like that. And yeah, I think one more stride. I don't know if Mystic Dan's going to hang on, because he was winning by a couple lengths there and then blew it right at the end. But hung on. I'm not sure if we're talking NASCAR today, but I wanted to bring up Kyle Larson.
We're getting to it. Don't worry.
Kyle Larson was a great finish as well.
You don't have to get too interested yet.
No, it's good for the sport. Obviously the Kentucky Derby is not is a lot bigger than the other two races, but if Mystic Dan can get the win in the Preakness, which is not a lot of horses in the Preakness, so get the win there, and it's the big race at the Belmont, which is in Saratoga this year, so interesting there. But yeah, I like to see the Kentucky Derby winner. I always root for the Preakness because I want to see something exciting for the Belmont. Big Brown let us down all those years ago, but yeah.
R.I.P.
let's root for a Triple Crown. Good horse.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's table it.
What was the thought process in taking Mystic Dan?
So I took Mystic Dan because I thought it was gonna rain and it didn't. And Mystic Dan was very good in the wet. If you look at his track record, and it ended up just paying off anyway.
Nice.
So I'll take it.
Uncle Tom wanted to bet him.
Really?
The bet didn't, his person who was supposed to bet for him didn't get in time, and he was going to take Dan because his brother's name's Dan. But
is his brother Dan also a Mystic?
Probably.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, what were you saying?
So, yeah, obviously those horses were the only horsepower in America this weekend. F1 back in American soil for the first time this year. And Max Verstappen gets taken down via the safety car. Strategy went against him, but it's interesting. So Lando Norris, who longest F1 streak ever, I believe, between first race to first win, those who have gotten a win. And, it's interesting because I think his McLaren might have been the best car anyway that day. It's just tough because when you're just stuck behind people, sometimes you're just stuck behind them. Not much you can do, even though F1 does have DRS and stuff like that. But when you're just kind of back in traffic, I mean, like any form of motorsport at that point, you get dirty air and stuff like that. Your aerodynamics kind of go to the side and, you know, stuff happens. But the strategy played out right. And look, after that safety car, he pulled away from Max. It showed that the speed was there all day for that McLaren. So we finally see... In that sense, right, Red Bull go down. It's been an interesting couple weeks for Red Bull. Adrian Newey on the way out now officially. Their lead designer, tech guy, been there since the beginning.
He going?
Well.
Where's the rumors?
Rumors Ferrari, but he won't be able to go there until next year at the earliest. Contractually, he still is doing some stuff for Red Bull with their hypercar that they're developing, but Newey's been there since Red Bull became a team when they bought Jaguar out back in 2004, and it's kind of crazy to see that end, but there might be some other players in on Newey. I know Ferrari's probably the leading candidate, but apparently Williams is more than willing to pony up for him, and that'd be interesting, but different discussion kind of for a different time. So yeah, you move from the Derby to F1 in that sense. We had another, I wouldn't call it upset, right, but this year has kind of been what we would call, you know, probably Max versus, you know, the field type deal again, with Max probably taking the whole thing. And through six races, Max has only won four. The other time he didn't was a mechanical failure that saw Carlos Sainz for Ferrari win in Australia. But this one's definitely a bit of the feel-good one portion of it, because Lando, very charismatic. I mean, if you watch Drive to Survive, I think you kind of know about Lando, and he really does deserve this. I mean, it's been a long time coming for him, been a long time coming for McLaren, too. This is their first win since, Daniel Ricciardo in Italy back in 21. So, ultimately, pretty good weekend for F1 overall, I'd say, too.
My Mount Rushmore.
Oh, boy.
My Mount Rushmore of video games is...
Oh, I know what you're...
MLB Power Bros. Then we got Sly 2. I'm going to go SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom. And number four is F1 Race Dies. That is in my mouth.
That was coming.
That was in my Mount Rushmore of video games. The whole time you were talking, I didn't listen to any of it because I was trying to think of my Mount Rushmore, because I knew F1 Race Stars was in there. But
clearly you were thinking because of Adrian Newey.
Yes. Great game. I recommend it. It's on the PlayStation 3. F1 Race Stars, one of the great racing video games of all time. I didn't know it could pass Mario Kart. It has. And it's just a great game. You should check it out. Get the keys. It's a great game.
Get the keys.
Well, there's shortcuts in that, but you have to get the key to get the shortcut.
Right.
It's a strategy game, man.
I remember playing it. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this is great for the sport. See, it's always great for when someone dominates a sport to go down. And it's a big win for, what did you say his name? Landon?
Lando.
Lando. It's always nice to humble somebody up a little bit. And Verstappen, I mean, I watched the piece. You see Marty, not Marty Smith, Marty McGee. Uh-huh. Did you see his piece on comparing Verstappen and Hamilton to Brady and Mahomes?
Sure.
About how, like,
I didn't see that portion of it, but
they, like, have the same amount of championships, Hamilton and Brady, and then, like, Mahomes and Verstappen are the same. And
on the rise.
Yeah, and no, it's just 1 week. He'll bounce back, obviously. He'll probably win next week.
I don't know if he'll win next week in Imola.
But first time he's ever lost on American soil, right?
Since 2019.
Since 2019. So he's a legit superstar. And it's good we're talking a little F1, Formula 1. Yeah. We don't get much IndyCar on here, but...
Well, it's the month of May, we will be probably talking a little bit of it. IndyCar's in its own... spat in space right now. They got some stuff going on. That,
is IndyCar your least favorite?
No, I'd probably say F1 actually is.
Wow. And and you hear people saying that's the most popular one now.
Yeah, it's just, you know, freaking, you know what's going to happen pretty much. That's the main issue with that.
Don't worry, Cup Series is still my favorite.
Well, let's get into that. You mentioned it, right? We had the closest finish in NASCAR history Sunday night. Chris Buescher coming to the stripe. Allows Kyle Larson to whip around the outside, and we have the closest finish in NASCAR history. They call it .001, but it's...
You could tell.
I've been told it's really closer to being like .0000 type.
You could tell live the who won.
No, I couldn't. No chat. If you said to me, if you were able to pick out Kyle Larson winning over Chris Buescher, then I would have...
And the third place guy was not that far behind either.
No, in fact, it would have been... If you went by that margin, Chase Elliott, who came in third, would have been like the second closest finish in NASCAR history or something like that. Or, well, numerically. I guess at this point it'd be like six or something like that technically on the list, because there's been a ton of .002s at this point. But, really crazy. Ends up being a really good talking point of the week for a lot of different motorsport, horsepower-oriented sports. It was just a good race all the way around. I mean, I'm sure you didn't probably see most of it, obviously. You saw the finish here after the fact, but...
Oh, complete insult.
Well, I don't even...
You don't know what I'm doing on Sunday. I was watching that golf tournament no one else was watching. No, I'm just kidding. I did not watch that.
So you watched all of the NASCAR race.
Definitely not that golf. I don't even know who was winning in that golf tournament.
I just know the one guy cried.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, it was a great race period. Kansas might be one of the better tracks right now for at least the Cup Series. Can run anywhere. These cars handle great there. Ends up being really just a pretty good weekend all the way around for that. Hopefully that momentum carries and continues. I know, you know, Darlington this week's always nice anyway, not to do the far away stuff. But this is a pretty good stretch because, you know, really outside of North Wilkesboro for the All-Star race, it's a short track. Don't know how the car will actually kind of act there. You get Charlotte with the 600, so should be some pretty good stuff. But we're on the 600 in a couple of weeks because we got the Indy 500 and Monaco that day too. So it's all coming up, racing. It's the month of May. It's the month of motorsport.
It's also a good time of sports this month as well, May. Not just motorsports, but all around.
Yeah, let's jump into a couple other of those, why don't we? So your Knicks?
No. What? We're not just jumping into the Knicks. We need to discuss your man Jimmy Butler. What was he doing the other night?
What are you talking about?
Jimmy Butler.
What do you mean the other night?
You know, at the bar, at the club.
What are you talking about?
Jimmy Butler.
I legitimately don't know what you're talking about.
His comments. He was drunk.
What did he say?
You didn't see, oh my goodness, Paul. You haven't heard what Jimmy Butler said?
When my team's kind of cut out, I usually disconnect from them.
This is big news. There was a video out there. Jimmy Butler drunk.
Okay.
Calling out the Knicks and the Celtics.
Oh, that wasn't at the club. Somebody just asked him about it. He was joking. Yeah, you went down a different path entirely.
Why did he call out Josh Hart and Thibs?
Why don't you call out Josh Hart and Thibs? Him and Thibs are friends still.
Explain yourself.
I have to explain?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you explain
Control yourself. Your man. Tell your man to calm down over there.
Tell my man to calm down.
What's he calling out Josh Hart for?
Why wouldn't you call Josh Hart?
You beat him last year.
Calm my man down.
Yeah.
Tell your boy Spike Lee to calm down.
Yeah. Oh, don't go at Spike. I'm just telling you, Jimmy.
Go at Jimmy.
Jimmy has no right.
Who cares?
I'm just saying.
It's a pretty big non-issue to me since they're all friends.
Yeah, Jimmy's got to keep his mouth shut.
All right.
Anyway, about the Knicks.
Well, they reignited an old rivalry, apparently between me now all of a sudden and you, but with the Pacers, they have an early series lead here already, but, you know, it's pretty interesting because, like, If you were in their shoes, exactly, who did you want to see?
Milwaukee or Indianapolis.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Even a Giannis-less Milwaukee, you want to see Indy.
Mm-hmm.
Elaborate.
All right, I'll explain myself.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I want Indianapolis because I think Haliburton is one of the most overrated players.
Oh, I forgot about this.
In the league.
Speaking of nonsense beefs, let me introduce everybody to Nick Feliz versus Tyrese Haliburton.
Well, Team Wally, if people don't remember, 2 years ago.
Don't know.
People who watch MSG, if you watch MSG, Wally Zerbiak's on there, and he represents the Knicks, and he went a little too far. I will admit that. My man Wally went a little too far, and it was a point. Tyrese had not been on an all-star team. Brunson had not been on an all-star team. And Wally said, Tyrese Haliburton is a wannabe all-star. And he had to go and apologize to Tyrese. And Tyrese, you know, as he is, we know he's all soft. And he went at Wally. He talked comments about Wally. And his profile picture was Wally Zerbiak for a little bit. And then Tyrese made the all-star team. Then Brunson made the All-Star team a year later. And then we had the game this year where it was Tyrese versus Wally. Wally was on the call. He was calling the game. Tyrese hits a big shot, pretty much like the exclamation point in the game, and he stares down Wally. And this is what this series is all about. This is the Tyrese Haliburton versus Wally Zerbiak series. And it's a bummer that the town or the local broadcast do not cover the second round. Because we need to see Wally versus Tyrese. And I'm Team Wally. not Tyrese.
Wally needs a Delta 8 gummy.
And that wannabe All-Star got really outplayed by Jalen Brunson in game one, as expected. But here's what I'll say about the Pacers. It's not about nothing good about Tyrese. Why did they take T.J. McConnell out of that game? T.J. McConnell, Brunson was 2 for 9 against T.J. McConnell on defense.
Well,
he's one of the most underrated players in the league. They took him out in the fourth quarter. He had 20 points. They took him out, and the Knicks went on their run.
I don't know about maybe being the most underrated players in the league, but I mean, there's been a lot of things Indiana's done this year that made me kind of scratch my head. Like, I still don't fully understand the Buddy Hield trade. You know, like, they were like second in the standings at the time, and then they fell. Like, I don't know. Tyrese Haliburton is no wannabe All-Star. He is an All-Star. Not to circle back to this, because we do have dived into this, I think, of all people calling somebody out on this, it's Wally Szczerbiak doing it's the most ironic thing in the world to me, but...
Wally needs to go to the club and start drinking.
Well, like I said, Wally needs a Delta 8 gummy and calm down. It's just one of those things to me where I figure, you know, you don't have to deal with Giannis. Your only focus really is a hobbled Middleton and a hobbled Lillard. Figured that maybe would be what you would have preferred slightly in the grand scheme of it. But
also, I just cannot.
I'll put it to you this way. Me and you said this last week anyway. I don't want to spend too much time on this point, but like, I just figured this. I don't think it really matters, because I think we're more than likely talking Boston Knicks anyway for the next round. So,
also, first time father Pat Connaughton, shout out. I didn't
want the dad power.
I didn't want to be the one to knock him out. It's
whoa,
the lines get drawn there. There was the one game in the Garden 2 years ago, I think. Pat Connaughton went off. It was the Pat Connaughton game. He had like a bunch of threes, went off. My dad and my brother were not happy about that game.
Pat Connaughton game, huh?
Yeah, he just went off. The Bucks beat us in the Garden, and I was pretty happy for him. And because he is a Notre Dame guy, and I will always love Pat Connaughton.
The struggle between you there on that one.
I wish he would come to the Knicks someday. But
you already have your quota of white players right now, so.
What?
Said you already have your quota of white players right now. You aren't
oh, quota. Yeah.
You aren't Indiana or Boston.
Yeah, no. No, you know, I wanted Indiana because they're the weaker team. I think when Giannis comes back, I didn't want to face that. Especially with Robinson out now. And
I mean, yeah, but like
Giannis and
I mean, what? God, I don't.
It's just they don't play any defense, Indiana.
No, and when that's the, when a it, fact. And when that's
it,
a fact.
When it comes to the playoffs, defense is what matters. And they can score all they want for three quarters. If you don't blow us out, we're going to play defense that last quarter. And
right.
And it's going to cramp. It's going to, you know, cramp them down and show that in game one. Knicks played defense when it mattered at the end. And they were able to come back from 9 points down. And yeah, I would love to play Doc Rivers, who jokes all the time. Yeah, that would have been great. But
that's what Doc Rivers got.
And this is weird. It definitely doesn't feel like a Rick Carlisle team. Rick Carlisle teams, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's a fact.
They were always defensive-minded. Yeah. And it's weird that this is his team. And I respect him as a coach. Obi. He was not mad. Rick Carlisle.
Obi revenge game.
Obi was not. So Obi did a reverse windmill. Not reverse. Windmill under his legs, whatever, dunk. Mm-hmm. And Ricardo wasn't mad about that. He didn't get back on defense, and right. DiVincenzo hit a three right after that. And Obi did that in the regular season against us at the Garden. He missed the dunk. He's lucky he made this one. And I think it's just an immature team. A bunch of young kids
in
the playoffs for the first time. Just a little immature. Even the Bucks have they didn't like how cocky they got after wins. And I think they're just immature.
Yeah.
But huge game for them tonight. Knicks got to go in there. Got to get the job done. And we haven't even mentioned the officials yet about that first game. And you can say what you want. Officials always come down to the end of these games. Mm-hmm. And Knicks easily could have lost that game. But they hung tough. got the win.
I mean,
those are always the toughest games. Game one.
The reason why the official thing didn't come up to me is because, like, the two-minute report comes out and everything was pretty much confirmed that they did. So it's like,
But if we want to talk beef, it's not about this series. The beef I have right now is, why is Patrick Beverley not been suspended yet?
Well,
and why is Jamal Murray not suspended? Those are ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
So the Murray one, I think, is easier to answer than the Pat Bev one. I think the Patrick Beverley one is the fact that it's off season. He's an impending free agent.
I think they're just trying to figure out what they're going to give him.
Right.
He cannot. I
think part of it too is you have Indiana still in the playoffs. I think there might be. I don't want to speculate because I don't know, obviously, but I think there might be legal stuff because Indiana's still in the playoffs that might be they're trying to.
But the Jamal Murray is ridiculous.
The Murray one I think is easier because.
Where's my cough button?
I think. I don't maybe necessarily disagree that he should have been suspended. I think the trouble spot comes in with. The fact that it's the playoffs, player that his caliber, even though he's dinged up, you suspend him, you're looking down the barrel of putting a team down 3-0. I think that's kind of where it's at.
It's all about ratings, yes.
It's not so much ratings. I think it's...
They don't want to ruin the series, and if they take Jamal Murray out, there's a good chance they're going to lose and they're going to be down 3-0.
Yeah.
And that series is going to be dog crap.
I think if it's the regular season, yeah, we're probably talking a one-game suspension.
But he threw something at the ref. And it almost hurt
a
player.
Okay, but here's my thing with this. It's like any other thing, though, in the playoffs. The NBA tends to let it be like a longer leash in the playoffs.
That's a silver.
There are calls like we go over this. Like it's a known fact. Like it's more physical in the playoffs. The refs don't tend to blow the whistle as soon in the playoffs on stuff. They tend to let more go. I think that's kind of the case happening here, unfortunately. I don't disagree, but I'm not surprised. I think it's this easier answer. I think it's because it's the playoffs and it's a key player of a team that, you know, you take them out, like you're definitely probably talking about a team down 3-0. We haven't even gotten that series in general yet. Like, I think that's kind of what it is, you know. I think both are relatively easy answers, I guess, now in retrospect, right?
Do you think they both should be suspended?
You know, Beverly, yeah. Just the whole entire issue with him, yeah.
I think Beverly.
The Murray one, I have probably, but like, I don't know.
I think Beverly should be at least 10 games start next season.
I mean, the issue is Pat Bev might not just be playing next season.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the issue with it.
The Murray one should be a game.
Yeah.
If not two. That's bad.
I mean, I don't know. They
threw something at a ref.
100 grand fine is pretty big in and of itself anyway. Which is where I think if it's regular season, I think it's something like a 25 and a game suspension. You know, I don't know. Stick with that series, though, for a second. I mean, Timberwolves are... I don't know what they exactly figured out with this, but they got to figure it out. And we talked about them a little bit last week. We do it again here, but Anthony Edwards, man. Whoo! Dude is a problem. And, yeah, I'd credit to the Timberwolves, man. I was sitting here bad-mouthing that Gobert trade, but... Even with him being out in game two.
First-time father as well?
Well, that's a little bit different, too. I mean, obviously, you know. Which, by the way, people talking about him should have played the game and skipped the birth. Come on. It's his first kid. let him be there. And it didn't make a difference anyway in the grand scheme of it. So it's kind of crazy, though. I mean, Timberwolves are... Man, I really want to be Timberwolves Thunder for the Western Conference Finals. Really want it to be those two. Thunder got a little bit of, I think, a tougher slope now, at least, you know, against the Mavs, but it's kind of crazy. I don't know. I really thought Denver was going to still kind of put it to them a little bit, and it's been literally the exact opposite.
Timberwolves Thunder, what a time to be alive. Crazy. There's so many great players in the NBA right now. Anthony Edwards, SGA, Jalen Brunson. And those are, that's it. But
sure. Whatever you say.
Nah, just kidding. But Luka Doncic, you know, this is his time to leave. It's usually around the second round. He can win a first-round playoff series. He doesn't play any defense. He's trying to play defense. Another guy that's so overrated, Luka Doncic. Cries about every freaking call. Him and Jason Tatum right up there. I would have loved to knock out Halliburton, Tatum, and Doncic in three rounds in a row, but, you know, we'll live what we can get. Yeah, I'm just thinking, how cool would it be if Boston, New York was the Eastern Conference Finals in hockey and basketball at the same time? Talk about Yankees, Red Sox. How about Bruins, Rangers? Celtics, Knicks? It's going to be an interesting time. I'm knocking on wood. Somewhere, not there yet. Far from it.
I see you knock on the plaster.
No, I agree with you. Timberwolves, Thunder would be a hell of a Western Conference Finals. I think you would be getting two of the rising stars in this league. And that is clearly Josh Giddey versus Naz Reid. No, what I'm actually talking about is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Anthony Edwards. And, yes?
You're good. I'm somebody outside.
I can't be good while you're looking, but you're looking for what's outside. But
I'm surprised you don't hear that sound.
I heard a weird sound outside yesterday. Not sure what that was. It was late last night.
Oh God!
It's
the aliens.
But SGA versus Anthony Edwards, sign me up. But don't count Denver out. As much as I think Jamal Murray is immature for what he did, I think he should definitely be suspended. They still got Nikola Jokic. They're gonna come to play in Minnesota. Must win game in game three. It's going to be rocking there. I believe it's Friday night, I think, is the game. Maybe tomorrow night. Denver is not done. They are the defending champs for a reason. They just got to get off to better starts. You can't get off to slow starts against Minnesota. You can't guarantee that you're going to come back every time. And I thought Minnesota was a fluke in the first round because I thought Phoenix – I know Phoenix sucks. They have a terrible bench. They're lucky they have Kevin Durant to be any sort of relevance. But they're proving it against Denver right now, and Denver's a really good team. But Denver hasn't been playing great. Laker games, they kind of struggled a little bit, had to come back.
Yeah.
Minnesota, they're not able to come back. This is a way better team than the Lakers. This is not the Minnesota Timberwolves of old. This is a legit team, and I'm excited to see how it plays out.
Well, you know, they got KD, but we got Josh McDaniels, so. Mm-hmm. Before we kind of really get out of here, I think, for the day, do want to shout out New York Rangers trying to buck the President's Cup curse, and at the moment they are.
I think I heard 2019 Avalanche were 6-0 to start.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think the record's 7-0.
Well.
I'm not confident.
For
a President's Trophy.
Right. Before I guess on that note, before I get over to you, I will go ahead and say this. I don't think that they have an issue coming up until what I perceive to be them versus the Panthers in the Eastern Conference final for the Stanley Cup.
The Bruins look pretty good in game one, though.
They're kind of like the Caps to me at this point. Like, I don't know how. I mean, for them, it's their goaltending.
Swayman's good?
For them, it's their goaltending, very clearly. But, like, that firepower they got, generally pretty old. But, look, we talk about
Swayman. And the Bruins want this one, though.
We talk about Swayman just not in vote. Igor saw over 100 shots last night, 100 or 50-something on net, and stopped all but three of them. In a double overtime game. That is nuts. That is nuts. I know we talk a lot for the Rangers, obviously, about that offensive firepower very clearly in that sense. But, like, for a guy at the end, at this time last year, we were kind of wondering, like, is he going to bounce back or is it going to be kind of the way his career goes? Like, He was on.
What is it, 29 straight playoff games? He's had three or less goals? Yeah, Shesterkin.
Is it trailing only Jonathan Quick now?
Who's his teammate?
Which is crazy. The mentor. That's crazy.
Shesterkin has taken it up a notch. And when you have that great goaltender in hockey, it's deadly. You can make a playoff run. And Carolina is a good team. Very good team. And they easily could have lost that game last night, the Rangers. They were getting outshot. Like, I don't forget what it ended. Like
numerically, they should have lost last night. Yeah. There is no other way to say it. And besides the fact that, and there was the moment, I can tell you the moment, at least for me, watching that game where I knew the Rangers were going to win, was in the first overtime period, halfway through. I don't think it was a true halfway. I think the power play ended before the 10-minute mark for Carolina. But they had a golden opportunity. They had a perfect play set up. It was just, I forget who it was for Carolina in front of the net. Shot goes, and it does. He did what he was supposed to do by kind of causing the interference in front, and it deflects off the opposite way and goes into the corner, and more or less kills the penalty. Rangers were able to clear it out, and more or less kills the penalty. And I saw that, I'm like, oh, like that was their last like true, because you could tell the next true possession they had, the Rangers were just on it, and they were on it for the final at that point. I guess what. 15-ish minutes, give or take, of ice time. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, still got a long way to go. But I have one little beef with the NHL schedule. Why did Boston play a deep series and Vancouver, Edmonton have still not played yet?
They start tonight.
Yeah, start tonight. They both have been done. Those two teams, Vancouver went a little longer.
That's a fair point.
And why are they starting finally tonight? Boston's already played a Game 7 and a Game 1 in between that.
I don't have an exact response to that one outside of the cliche TV probably type thing, but like, I don't know. If that's your only beef with the hockey schedule for the playoffs, then I think we're fine, all things considered, because it's not like, to be fair, they aren't doing like the NBA thing where it's like, oh, we'll see you in four nights. You know,
play a day game in the middle of the week like baseball. I dare them to.
Well, they do on the weekends.
Yeah, a day game. I'm talking middle of the week.
You're not doing a day game in the middle of the week for the playoffs in that sense.
Baseball does it.
It's a little bit different. It's a little bit different. Baseball's still playing.
How's basketball does it?
Again, a little bit different.
It's a lot different.
That one might be the true, you pick the one true like outlier of the ball and try to make it fit that peg into a round hole.
Tennis and golf does it.
Again, hugely different. What point are you trying to prove? Like, are you just going to say NASCAR next? Like,
I just want to say about the Jimmy Butler thing, I am sorry.
Jesus Christ.
And I think it's actually a sign of respect for Jimmy. Of course, Indiana and Cleveland and Orlando not in his head at the time. It's, of course, it's New York and Boston that are in his head. The two teams he knocked out last year and the two teams that are got a shot at the Eastern Conference Finals this year.
How about it?
But Pat Riley really lit under him, though. What do you think of those?
Okay, so
I didn't even get to that. What about Pat Riley's response?
I don't think it was necessarily singling out Jimmy as much as I think everybody. I do think it was kind of directed at Jimmy. Don't get me wrong, but like there are other
Tower Hero.
Yeah, I mean, I think there were a few guys he was kind of making that point to. I think the talk one was just obviously more directed at Jimmy because. Obviously, he said the stuff the day before.
And this isn't the first time they heard this.
No, and I think, like I said, I think if you want to make it all about Jimmy, sure. I'm not going to sit here and argue it because it's justified, I think, part of it. But, I mean, Tyler Hero, I think to a degree, Bam's probably getting a little bit of that. Bam did play every game this year that he was healthy for. I think. Some of it is more so he was given the captain's title this year, so I think, you know, figure that out a little bit more, right? Like, you're the leader of this team. Like, you're supposed to be kind of, you know, handling this before it gets out the door.
Yep.
So, I think it was directed at a few guys, not just one. But I don't know why it surprised people. Like, Pat's always – Riles has always been that way. Like, I don't think anything is a big surprise, so – I think the biggest funny part of me on the season is, you know, obviously the city stuff this year was all about the culture element, and This was probably the worst year of quote-unquote Heat culture that's ever existed. So, or well, at least in, when the team's been semi-successful in terms of winning. So, I mean, I don't.
It's all right, man.
Like I said, if you want to make a big deal out of it, I know you're not. I'm just saying, like, if people want to make a big deal out of this, like, you can. But, like, he was talking about multiple people, not just one. And it needed to be said.
All right.
You know. I don't even think that's something you would deny either. Like, if you're the Heat and you see, like, literally the perfect example, this might be New York, right? Where it's like, yeah, cool, like, Randall can do it, but you need somebody else besides him. You know, going back, obviously, a few years here when they signed Brunson and stuff like that. Like, they really expected to run it back with more or less Jimmy being Jimmy. Like, not going to happen.
Yep.
Like, you need more. So, all right, that will do it for Fresh Takes for today. Like I mentioned, we had to kind of get through some stuff today. Nick, I know Wednesdays are predominantly your off day, and you have that, but we've been streaming some meetings here this week, and I got another one tonight that I have to go to, so we're out here running around.
Have fun.
Busy, so, oh, yeah, I can't wait. As long as the check clears, as I would say. But,
shout-out time.
No, this is where I end, yeah. Nick, shout-out, who you got?
I'm going to shout-out Miami Heat fan Chiz Plays. But no.
Is he actually a Heat fan?
Yep. He's all Miami. It's where he lives down there. Morons. I think Dolphins, I would assume. He's all Heat. But he's definitely Heat. But my shout out is happy birthday to my cousin Steve Crisani. Been on the show a long time ago.
Cousin Steve.
Yeah. A long time ago now.
Yeah. That was definitely back in the old studio.
Yep, back in this. Probably last time Matt and Pat had been on too.
COVID.
But yeah, shout out Steve. Happy birthday, Steve. 29 years old today.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I was about to say, everybody's 29.
Mm-hmm. Only your thing. Last thing I got to say, shout out Steve, but last thing I got to say, Pirates fan as well. I will say it. We'll say it together. Fire Derek Chalton. Thank you. Thank you.
I'll let you just handle that on your own. I don't necessarily disagree. But I will not be calling for people's jobs on this podcast.
Oh, my God. Mr. Pete Carroll hot seat.
Fine. Derek Shelton hot seat.
Yes.
No, you see, that's my thing. You do the direct firing. I just put people on the hot seat.
And the Devils.
No, that was you. That was you picking the Devils. So on that note, before Nick can rebuttal where he definitely picked the Devils, we will talk with everybody next week.